Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome to the Wildcast podcast. I'm Star Sports Editor Ryan Finley here with Greg Hansen. Greg, we have a guest today, too.
I know. It's pretty cool. I'm nervous.
Elena Gonzalez visiting us. She is an apprentice with our business desk and a student at the U of A. If you feel like chiming in on any sports topics, just jump on in.
All right, we know
that she's a little bit of a foodie, so maybe we'll ask her for her favorite Tucson restaurants or something.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, okay, so start thinking. You got about 10 minutes
to
come
thinking.
Up with a call. GH, it's game week, Arizona ASU, Thursday night, Wells Fargo Arena in Tempe. Tell me if I'm wrong. This game matters much more to the home team than to the visitors.
Yeah, I agree with that, but then I almost don't.
Okay.
Because it matters a lot to Arizona.
Does it?
What if they lose?
If Arizona loses,
suddenly they're only one game in front of the league, and they lose face in addition to a game. And ASU can claim that it's closed the gap, the famous statement every year. And I think it's one of the three or four biggest games in Tempe since Lute Olson started here.
Wow.
Don't you?
Yeah. I mean, it has to be up there. It's a flawed Arizona team going there. And I don't think I would have ever thought I'd say that with this team. It's on paper. They look the part, but it just seems like there's something missing. This is not a team that I think plays particularly well on the road. This is not a team that plays particularly well when people throw junk defenses at them, and I think we'll see a little bit of that out of ASU on Thursday. To me, ASU just has so much more at stake. I mean, this is a program that was as high as number three in the country at the end of December. They were then 10th in the league. They've now sort of equaled out a little bit. They're, what, number 25 in the country, top half of the league. I think they're in the NCAA tournament if they can beat Arizona on Thursday.
Look at this scenario. They lose to Arizona. They get swept in Oregon next week, which I think is a real possibility.
Sure.
And then are they in?
No.
Yeah, they could fall out pretty quickly.
Right. And to me, a win Thursday is the difference between this being a real big step forward year for ASU and them just being a team that was kind of good in November and December, right? And I mean, you've been around Arizona basketball long enough to know that was Lute Olson's MO for a long time. So they were fantastic in November and December and then would kind of trail off. It took Lute really kicking his foot in the door at, what, in 88 to show that they were a Final Four caliber team.
Yeah, and that was his, what, fifth year here?
Mm-hmm.
And this is Hurley's third year? So can you say Hurley's ahead of Lute's pace?
I don't know. Let's piss off all of our listeners and readers here, Greg, and talk for a minute about what a good fit Bobby Hurley is at ASU.
I,
for one, kind of adore him. You?
I think Arizona was looking for a villain, and you couldn't get a better villain than Bobby Hurley.
Right. And they had tried so hard to make Herb Sendek into a villain, and that's like making your town's librarian into a villain, right?
That's a good call.
And before that, it was Rob Evans, who was just kind of a guy.
Yeah, nice guy.
Super nice guy. Before that, Bill Frieder, who was almost too well-liked.
Yeah,
a little nuts. But God, Bobby Hurley, he fits at ASU so well, don't you think?
I don't know if he fits ASU. I think he's going to be at a place much higher than ASU someday. But right now he does because he's just getting started, and ASU is just getting started. And he's saving their reputation that seemed to get lost for 6 weeks.
Yep.
And Thursday's game is a reputation saver.
It is a reputation saver. You look at their two guards, I think – the two guys that make them go are Trey Holder and Remy Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Elena, Remy Martin, by the way, one of ASU's guards, is named after the cognac. Isn't that great?
You can pronounce that right.
Yeah.
Cognac.
Anyway, it's named after the cognac. Back to this.
Have you ever tasted cognac?
Yes, it's gross.
Have you?
No.
Cognac is gross.
It's gross, yeah.
It's gross.
I have no desire.
But anyway, Remy Martin, named after liquor, plays at ASU and is a very big-time deal. I mean,
hey, he's good.
He's very good. to me, if you're poking holes in Arizona from a roster standpoint, it's their guards.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what this is going to come down to? Is ASU throwing their guards at Arizona's guards?
100%.
Yeah.
But they can fill in. I mean, their other guys are okay.
Uh-huh.
And maybe Arizona's guards are just okay.
Right. This is one of those games where somebody like a Cody Justice could score 15 points on 5 of 8 three-pointers and beat you.
In the handful of games Arizona has lost in Tempe mm-hmm. over the years, it's always some guy like Cody Justice hitting a couple of three-pointers late in the game.
It's always like a Croatian-born three-point shooter who you hadn't heard of and then he goes off. Yeah.
And then you don't hear from him ever again.
Remember Jordan Baczynski? Not to lump him in with those guys.
See, I forgot about him.
Jordan Baczynski, legitimate Division I player, seemed to play his best ball against Arizona and would really give them fits.
They had a guy grew up in Tempe who no one recruited named Chad Pruitt. He killed Arizona one year, like one of the few times they've lost up there. Then, did you ever hear of him again?
Nope, never again. Yeah. That's one of the reasons why, if I'm Arizona, I'm walking into this game concerned. Because I think ASU, it matters so much more for them than it does for Arizona. People who I know, Greg, have been saying for the last 3 months, as soon as Arizona can figure it out on defense, they'll be fine. We're reaching the end of the regular season, and they haven't figured it out on defense yet.
They're okay.
Are they fine? Are they
fine, but they're okay. Is there a difference between fine and okay?
Of course. I think okay is better than fine.
But then I should say fine. Because they're not the best one of those.
Okay. Well, how do you think they need to improve to be formidable in March?
Defensively.
Yeah, but how defensively? Like, who needs to get better?
I don't know if they can get better because Parker Jackson Cartwright is so small
and
they take advantage of him all the time.
Right.
And Dusan Ristic can't move his feet enough to be a good defensive player.
Right.
I mean, he's just born that way.
Right.
And the guys off the bench, well, Keanu Pender helps defensively, but who else does?
Not much. Not many guys. And Keanu Pender kind of only just recently.
Yeah. And DeAndre Ayton, as talented as he is, just isn't a defensive horse.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, we talk about, I think for Arizona, if they can win the regular season Pac-12 title, then they will stay in the West for the tournament, which means they'll go San Diego in the first round, probably L.A. the second weekend. If that's the case, they'd have to be a prohibitive favorite to at least get to the round of 8. But if they can't play defense...
Sweet 16 game would be really, really tough.
I mean, we see one team like this every year where you go, oh my God, on paper they're fantastic, and then they fall apart because they can't defend in the tournament.
You know, the early projections have Arizona against the Western teams, Gonzaga and St. Mary's. I don't think it's going to work out like that. But if you remember last year, St. Mary's took Arizona down to the last 40 seconds.
Jock Landale,
he's the best guy they played against all year, I thought.
Yeah, I thought so too. And then you faced a Xavier team that was, St. Mary's, but supercharged, right? I mean, just they had a couple more guys than St. Mary's and did a lot of the same stuff. They carved them up.
And Xavier number two now?
Uh-huh.
Who would have thought Xavier is better in Arizona?
Not Sean Miller.
I know it.
Not Sean Miller when he left Xavier to come to Arizona. One more thing before we let you go, Greg, and it's too early to be lighting the off-season sort of hot stove rumors here, but Connecticut is a job that could come
I knew you'd say that.
Connecticut is a job. I mean, we're talking right now. There is a very real possibility that Kevin Ollie gets fired at UConn, and possibly that Kevin Stallings, bad year to be named Kevin, Kevin Stallings might get fired at Pitt. Those are two jobs that would ostensibly appeal to Sean Miller, or would at least want to come after Sean Miller. Most years, no way in hell is Sean Miller to leave Arizona for a place like that. But this is not most years. Would he listen, do you think?
I think he would listen to anybody right now because of the uncertainty at Arizona. Mm-hmm. To me, the key player in all this is President Bobby Robbins preemptive in this. Mm-hmm. Does he sense what many fans... sense that Sean Miller's looking for a way out of this?
I don't know.
Does he get him now and say, hey, you're going nowhere over my dead body?
Right.
And lock him up and say, no matter what happens, I believe in you. I don't think you did anything wrong.
But do you double down your commitment to a guy who's currently being investigated by the FBI and will soon be investigated by the NCAA?
Yep. That's the number one question. And the number two question will someday be, is Sean Miller willing to stick it out here and be crummy for a couple of years?
Right.
Because next year, they're not going to be good.
Well, if you look at the guys who they're expected to lose this year, it's every starter and maybe two bench guys.
Yeah.
And look at who's coming in. Right now, it's a two-man recruiting class. Brandon Williams and Sharif O'Neal.
And Chase Jeter.
Oh, and Chase Jeter. And Chase Jeter, who's sitting this year after transferring from Duke. That's not enough to get you to the second weekend of the NCAAs.
Sitting here right now, just looking at it as a pessimistic, I could see Arizona going 6-12 in the Pac-12 next year.
And if you're Sean Miller, if there's a chance to jump, if there's a chance to go to a place that'll pay you similar money and you start your five-year clock all over again, or maybe he goes, maybe the Milwaukee Bucks come calling.
He doesn't seem like a pro coach to me. No. Maybe to you, but not me.
But any more in the pros, half his roster is going to be the same age as the guys he's coaching now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking for somebody who can teach a 22-year-old to play defense. Sean Miller's your guy.
That's a jump going to the NBA lifestyle and everything. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a better lifestyle, though, not having to worry about recruiting.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if the NCAA is going to come in here and ding Arizona, maybe Sean Miller doesn't want to recruit with one arm tied behind his back either. You know,
this could go up in flames in a hurry.
Do you get the sense, and I just watch, Greg, I'm just like most of our listeners and readers here. I'm not in the press conferences with Sean Miller. I just know what I see. He's not somebody who seems to be enjoying this at all this year.
You should have been there yesterday in his little press conference. You know, he's usually expansive and real informative. Yesterday he was in a bad mood, and he was brief, and you usually get one smile out of him per press conference. Right. Wasn't even close yesterday.
And he's blessed with the greatest player any coach could ever possibly get talent-wise in DeAndre Ayton.
It's so ironic, isn't it?
Right. A year after having another once-in-a-generation guy in Lauri Markkanen, and I'm not sure, he may be 12th in the league in smiles, you know?
That's a good one.
I mean, and
who would be below him?
Right. I mean, it's not about, and here's the thing, it's not about smiling and having a good time, but I'm not sure he's enjoying this the way a guy who you think would be here forever would be enjoying it.
Well, Dusan Ristic last week after the UCLA game said, we're not having fun.
Right.
We've got to change that.
Right. Wow.
Really, isn't that bad?
Yeah, you're heading into March. You've got ASU coming up on your schedule. After that, you've got the Pac-12 tournament in Las friggin' Vegas. Then you have the NCAAs. If you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong. If your culture is not fun,
I know it.
You're doing it wrong.
The new thing in college sports is the climate.
Right.
What's the climate like inside the Arizona basketball program? No, none of us know yet.
Right, right. And
maybe we won't know, but that's a big deal.
It's a very big deal. There's going to be plenty of action in February, March, and probably April, too. We'll see what happens, Greg.
I'll tell you how I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Pac-12 tournament. Mm-hmm. I made my airline reservations. Mm-hmm. I made it to come back Saturday.
Because you don't think they make it past the semis?
Well, mostly because all the flights were sold out.
Mostly. But either way, you're making some sort of a bold prediction. That's good. All right. Well, before we wrap up here, Elena, have you been thinking? Because Greg and I are food people. You're in Tucson, Arizona. You've got somebody in town for the weekend. Where are you taking them?
All right. Well, honestly, I'd probably go to Five Points.
Okay.
Have you heard of it?
No.
It's mostly a brunch place. Mm-hmm. I'm a big breakfast person. I love eggs, and they do local eggs there if you request them. So.
Where is it?
You're asking the wrong person.
Oh. All right.
Downtown?
Like past downtown? I'll work on that.
Okay, work on that. Okay, where else are we going?
Time Market for sure.
Okay.
Really?
I love Time Market.
That's 100 years old.
Yeah. Okay, their pizzas, their sandwiches, what do you like?
Their pizzas for sure.
Okay.
And their kale salad. I love kale. So.
Wow, you are a foodie. Okay, okay.
Yep, that's my go-to meal there. Half of a salad and the pizza.
Okay. One more place.
Oh, one more place. I only thought of two.
Well, it's good. I mean, it can be a drink. It can be dessert.
A place that serves beer.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, a place that serves beer. I haven't been to enough places that serve beer, but I've been to Tap and Bottle, and that's all beer, so.
That is all beer. There's a new Tap and Bottle up in Ryan Finley territory.
Where is it?
Oracle and Ina.
Oh, the burger place that's next door, Trueland?
Yes.
Love that place.
Where is it on the intersection there?
Yeah, it's the southeast corner of Oracle and Ina.
Oh, by Whole Foods?
Across the street. Just north and across the street.
Wow.
Anyway. Yes, this is all very good stuff. Elena, thank you so much. That'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast Podcast. For Greg Hansen, I can't stop thinking about UConn now.
I think that's, everybody's talking about that now, so it's not going to happen.
Okay, you're right, and that's a sports rule. Elena, write this down. It's a sports rule. If too many people think something's going to happen, it doesn't happen. Always.
I think that's a general life rule.
That is a good general life rule. For Elena and Greg Hansen, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.